Boy, I tell you, that helped me. If you got your Bibles, how many got a Bible tonight? Raise your hand if you got a Bible. I hope you do. Hope you have the right kind. King James Bible. We don't apologize for that. Jonah, chapter number 1. Go to the book of Jonah. And you say, I don't know how to get there. Well, go to Obadiah and take a right. And Jonah, chapter number 1. Got a thought on my heart tonight. And I hope it'll help you tonight. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Go down to verse 15. I'll use all this chapter, but go to verse 15 and stand to your feet. Jonah, chapter number 1, verse number 15, 16 and 17. The Bible said, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Father, I ask you to help me preach this thought tonight. God, give me power and liberty and clarity of mind that I'll preach this the way you give it to me. And I'll give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love the book of Jonah. I love the story of Jonah. It's a familiar story. It's one the kids love to hear the story about Jonah and the whale. The seniors, I think, if I remember right, went up to Lancaster and saw Jonah. Boy, it was awesome. I remember going with them. It was awesome. You know the story. I'll just give you a little background of the primary interpretation. God called Jonah to preach and go to the city of Nineveh and preach the gospel. And because of his prejudice and because of his disobedience, he went the other way. Somebody say amen. He disobeyed God. God raised up a fish. New Testament tells us it was a whale. And that whale swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and 3 nights. Somebody help me. And the same God that was able to summon the whale to swallow him up was the same God that told the whale to spit him out. So God can swallow you up or spit you out. It doesn't matter. God knows how to do it. Now, then Jonah finally got obedient, went and preached to the Ninevites. They got saved. That God changed his mind. He was going to destroy that city. But because Jonah went and preached the word of God and they repented, they got saved. The city was spared. Somebody help me. But now, that's the primary interpretation. But I'm going to give you a secondary application. That I read this somewhere or heard this somewhere, that it got in me, and I'm going to preach it tonight. Now, the folks on the ship were doing well, and the ship was sailing well until Jonah got on the ship. Somebody help me. Oh, I'm about ready to get to preaching here in a minute. By the way, your life will run smoothly until you let a Jonah get on your ship. So what I want to preach on tonight, why don't you just throw him off your ship? Get him off your ship. Tonight, will you decide as a Christian that you are going to get your Jonah off your ship? Oh, it's going to get better in a moment. So you said, what do you mean? The Jonah in your life may be a habit. It may be a sin. Something that is on the ship that does not belong there. May I ask you this question? What is your Jonah? What is in your life that is causing your journey to be bumpy and to be turbulent? And why is your life such a mess? And why are you about ready to get shipwrecked? I'll tell you why. Because you got a Jonah on your ship. Somebody help me preach. See, I want you to know the only way you'll ever enjoy your Christian life and have an abundant Christian life and have a smooth sailing is to get your Jonah and cast him out. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. Oh, I'm going somewhere. She said, I ain't never heard Jonah like this. Well, you're going to get to hear it differently tonight. Because God gave me something you need to hear. Number one, the problematic essence of Jonah. He was a problem. Yeah. And by the way, as long as you got a Jonah on your in your life, you are going to have problems. Let me give you three things. I see an inexcusable rebellion. Jonah was a rebel. And by the way, the Bible said rebellion is as worse or as the sin of witchcraft. And the word witchcraft in that passage of Scripture means drug addiction or sorcery. You know what your Jonah is? It's like you using a drug. It's rebellion. Oh, amen. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. I want to tell you what you need to get off your boat. You need to get rebellion off your boat. Amen. Oh, hold it. Look at these verses with me. Then I see an inappropriate residence. Not only did Jonah get on the ship, but he started abiding there. And when you start letting things abide in your life, come on, help me. When you refuse to get rid of your Jonah, your life's going to be upside down, and most likely the lives of people that are around you will be upside down too. Good preaching, Reverend. Then I see an inexplicable relationship. Oh, here's how it works. Starts with inexcusable rebellion. You get rebellion in your life. And when you start rebelling, you act like a rebel. Then it comes to make residence. Then it starts living there. Good preaching, Charlie. You're with me. But then it goes to an inexplicable relaxation. Not only did, boy, am I preaching. Not only was there a rebellion and a residency, well, they fixed the room for him. How many of you in this room, you're a rebel, and you know what you've done? You've let your Jonah come into your life and make residence in your life, and now you made a bed for him.
Amen. That's good preaching.
And the only way you'll ever have smooth sailing is to cast that sucker in the water.
Amen, preacher.
That's good. Come on now. Oh, maybe y'all's not getting this yet. Jeff, you starting to get it. See, our life starts with rebellion. It leads to residency. And by the way, then we make a bedroom. You say, well, what are you talking about anyway? Well, I guess I'll get more. I'll explain it more. What are some of the Jonas? Your pornography. Your drinking. Your drugs. your partying, your ungodly music, your gambling, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your social media, your Facebook account. Somebody help me preach. By the way, until that junk gets cast into the sea, you'll never, never, never have a smooth ride. Amen. Number two. I'm hurrying. Thank you. Number two, I noticed the powerful effect of Jonah. I see a deliberate source. By the way, once he got on the ship, guess who sent the storm? Verse 4. God sent the storm. As soon as you allow a Jonah to get in your life, God's going to send a storm in your life to make your life upside down, inside out. Good preaching, Reverend. Then I see a divine strength. It wasn't just a storm. It was a mighty storm. Then I seen a destructive scene. The Bible said in verse 4, 5, and 6, the ship started to break. By the way, when you got a Jonah in your life, it starts breaking up stuff. Somebody say amen. It'll break your marriage up. It'll break you financially. Somebody say amen. It will cause your kids to have problems at school. You'll have lost friendships because a Jonah got in the way. You won't come to church as often. You know why? Because a Jonah got in the way. Somebody help me preach. We get those Jonahs in our life and they become residents, and then they get in relaxation. We got a bed for them and they're real comfortable. Somebody help me tonight. Is this getting to anybody? Verse 5. The pointless efforts. The mariners got afraid. I'd have got afraid too. And you know what they started doing? Now look at me. I want y'all to get this point. They started unloading stuff on the ship and throwing it out. They had maligning fear. They were scared half to death. They had misplaced faith because they started praying to their gods. Hey, by the way, we all got our little gods that we carry around. We need to ditch those gods and quit having misplaced faith. And we're not talking about misplaced faith. Get your faith off of people. Get your faith off of circumstances. And get your faith on God. Am I all right? And then they had a mistaken frenzy. Oh, here's what they done. Well, let's throw some tackle off. Let's throw some wares off. Well, you know what? They threw everything off except what needed to be thrown off. Well, I'll tell you what some of y'all do. You quit tithing. You know why you quit tithing? Because you figure that's weighing you down. Instead of you casting your coat off, you cast your stewardship off. Hey, your marriage is ready to blow up. You know why? Because you're leaving Jonah on and throwing all the things that make a marriage strong off. See, what you do, you give up the best to keep the worst. I know some people that's wicked. They'll text their girlfriend while they're laying beside their wife. That's wicked. Or text their boyfriend while they're laying beside their husband. Boy, it's quiet in here now. Hey, ain't time to die. It's time to get right.
Amen. You're right, preacher.
Man, this has stirred me up. See, I'm preaching tonight, and there's some of you know you got Jonas in, and you're doing everything you can to shut me down. Then I see miserable futility. Man, oh man. I'll tell you what's miserable. I'm just going to tell you what misery is. Coming up to the altar and saying a prayer and then going back to your seat with a Jonah. That's miserable. That's futility. The only way the altar's going to help you is when you come, you get him out.
Yep. Come on. Amen.
Is it all right?
Yeah, buddy. Come on.
Am I okay?
Yeah, buddy. You're doing good.
Some people shout. Well, if they shout and they got a Jonah, they ain't melting nothing. Some people got a bunch of junk. Got a bunch of stuff. Y'all better look at my little testimony. And they got a Jonah in their life.
Goodness, come on.
Right. You know what we need to do? Instead of throwing away what we should do for the Lord, we ought to cast out who's really causing us the problem, and that's casting out your Jonah.
Yeah. Good preacher.
I don't know if y'all's got this sermon yet. Y'all got it yet? To get on smooth territory. You got to get ready of Jonah. Because he's the one that's causing all the disturbance. Your problem with alcohol. Your problem with drugs. Your problem in your marriage. Your problem with your attitude. Hey, I want you to know, it's all got to go.
Amen, preacher. That's good.
Well, I know what some of you said. I wonder who he's preaching to tonight. You. Me? All right. How am I doing? Pretty good. Let me show you some personal essentials. Just look at the chapter. Stay following me. Verse number 6. Boy, this is the good part. There's got to be some essentials for you to get rid of your Jonah, to cast him out. First of all, it takes direct confrontation. You got a stupid, rotten attitude? Confront it. You got something bad in your life? Confront it. In verse number 6, that's what they did. The shipmaster came to him and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God. And if it be so that God will fake upon us, that we perish not." The shipmaster went right to his face and said, "I'm confronting you. Until you confront your Jonah and your sin and your habit and your mess, you'll never, never have smooth sailing. Never. Your life will be turbulent. And by the way, the people's life around you will be the same." Boy. Then I see detailed consideration. Now, you know what they done to find out who the problem was? How many know? They cast lots. They drew straws. Right? That's what they done. They had a detailed consideration. Okay, let's just draw a straw and guess who the straw fell on. Well, I don't have a straw. But I got a King James Bible. And I want you to know something. If this Bible says it right, it's right. You do it. And if this Bible says it's wrong, you get rid of it. The only way is to get the Word of God into your problem. Then I said, discerning comprehension. They started figuring out what the problem was. And then verse number 10, a definite conviction. Look what it said. Well, look what it said in verse 9. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Jonah told them, I'm this. And that brought a definite conviction. And I'm going to slow down. You know what's missing in our churches? It's conviction. Ain't nobody. How can you sow discord and never be in conviction? How can you drink liquor and never be in conviction? How can you smoke dope and never be in conviction? How can you snort some pain pill and never be in conviction? How can you be in pornography and never be in conviction?
Amen, preacher.
That's good preaching.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to tell you something. And by the way, unsaved, you're here. You'll never get saved outside of conviction. I want all y'all to know this. I want all y'all to know this. God still convicts me of stuff. I want y'all to know, He still convicts me of stuff. Me and Chad was in the room talking about some of our members, some of them that we're worried about, some of them that's got problems. And we both got under conviction. You know what we got conviction about? Maybe we were not trying to spend more time with them, and maybe we're not trying to make a better effort. Y'all with me?
Amen.
By the way, if you can tell me you can live a reckless life and never repent and never be under conviction and you're never wrong, I say you are a Jonah. Come on now. Verse 11, a diligent contemplation. Look what they did. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? They asked him. Isn't that something? You know what it is? That the sea may be calm for us. For the sea rocked and was a tempest. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth. He told them what to do. Boy, that's good preaching. And then I see a disassisted continuation. You know what they done? They kind of like the old boy. And if you read that next verse, they start rowing harder. Instead of us getting rid of him, us just making a better effort. You can try all the Christianity you want. And you can be in church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But until you decide to cast your Jonah in the sea, it will not avail you nothing. Keep rowing. Stay in the rut. Stay a mess. Maybe we just try harder. We'll have peace. You will not have peace.
Right.
Until you cast Jonah off the ship. Well, y'all's kind of quiet on me tonight, so I'll just say amen. Then I say in a determined conclusion, look at verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. It was hard. By the way, taking your Jonah and putting it in the sea ain't going to be easy for you. But you need to do it. I'm talking about your messed up social media. I'm talking about some of the TV you watch. I'm talking about your smartphone that you can't control. I'm talking about your sports god. I'm talking about your money god. Somebody help me. I'm talking about your pride. Isn't it easy? Is that easy? It ain't easy to get rid of your stinking pride. It ain't easy to say, I'm done with that. Y'all still with me? Y'all's quiet as little church mouses tonight. I think there's some Jonas going on. I think there's some people here that got Jonah in their life, and you know you got him in your life, and you're refusing to ditch him. Well, preacher, if I do that, it's going to change everything. Oh, yes. Preacher, if I do that, I'll be a nice person again. Oh, yes. Preacher, if I do that, my marriage will be healed. Yes. Preacher, if I do that, I'll be a great church member. Yes. Some of you are probably thinking, is it six yet? But let me show you something. I'm done. What happens, look at me, when you decide really, I'm casting him out, then what is the result? Let me show you the result. Look at verse 16 and 17 and I'm done. Or verse 15, 16 and 17. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And the sea ceased from her raging. I see a peaceful end. Can I ask you a question? Don't you ever get tired of your life being unhappy and messed up all the time? Just no peace, no stability. Do you ever get tired of that? You ever? I mean, you're tired of some drama going on all the time? Aren't you tired? Well, God said, if you get rid of your Jonah, it will result in a calm. Whoa! Some of the greatest experiences I've ever had is when I got rid of my Jonah. I'll tell you a Jonah I had. I got saved. And for 6 months, now, don't know y'all take offense. I ain't preaching at this. I'm just preaching that at me, okay? I got called to preach. But I was still smoking Marlboros. I was. Bill, you remember, I smoked about 6 months after I got saved. And they won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. I was up the municipal auditorium. God just called me on Monday night. We was there on a Saturday night. And we took our youth up there. I'd rapidly become a youth leader. And that guy, that youth speaker, man, he ripped those kids apart. He said, yeah, you go in the bathroom at school and smoke cigarettes. And I said, I'm going to rip him, rip him, rip him. And then he said, some of you, I don't know why he'd say this, think you can preach the gospel and think you can be a leader and think you can be great and smoke a cigarette. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to leave this municipal auditorium, go outside, get your Marlboro. How do you know I had Marlboros? Get your Marlboro. Pack it down real good like you always do. Take your lighter, your Bic, and light it up. And take a real deep draw and say, Jesus, did that taste good? Well, you know, I had to tell all y'all, I took preaching literally. So I went outside, got my Marlboros out of my shirt, tucked it down like I always do. And some of you, I'm watching you. You know what I'm talking about. Put it up to my mouth, took my Bic out. I went, how'd that feel, Jesus? Did you like that? I want you to know what happened. I took that pack of Marlboros and threw them in the trash can. And I've never smoked a cigarette since. You do that with your dope. You do that with your pornography. You do that with your situation. Just say, Jesus, is this good? Do it with your attitude. Jesus, is this good?
Amen.
Is that all right, Jesus? Would you do that? Woo! That's good. Then I seen a reverential change. Look at verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord. They were praying to their gods. Now they fear the Lord. Can I tell you, there's something happens when you cast Jonah out. You'll get a reverential change. You'll start fearing God. Then they got rendered contributions. They made a sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never have a problem tithing if you ever get Jonah out. You'll never have a problem giving back to God when you have Jonah out. The reason you don't tithe is because Jonah's there. The reason you don't give a faith promise is because Jonah's there. The reason you don't sacrifice your time and your talent is because Jonah's there. Y'all all right over there? Y'all getting the point yet? Am I close to getting the point? Okay. I'm looking at some of you and I'm not sure. Then I see a ready commitment. Now listen, look here, look at it. And they made vows. Here's what will happen. You get your Jonah out. Then you will make a commitment. You'll commit to your God. You'll commit to church. You'll commit to your marriage. You'll commit to your children. You will commit. But you'll never commit and never make a vow as long as he's in the boat. Well, I'm done. Right at 6. I want to ask you. Sometimes I think the only person I'm preaching to is me and Chad. Come on, please. Please do this. Everybody here on this side, will you do this? I want to ask you, what's your Jonah? What needs off your life, out of your life? What is it? I guarantee you don't know. Can I ask y'all? What's your Jonah? What needs to be out? So you can have smooth sailing. You know. I don't know. I don't know your life. What's your Jonah? Teenagers. What's your Jonah? Oh, y'all. What's your Jonah? You got Jonah. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe you just don't forget people very easy. And you hold grudges. You hold them against God. You hold them against the church. You hold them against the pastor. You hold them against your family. You hold grudges. That's a Jonah.
Yes, sir.
What's y'all's Jonah? Is there something you got on your boat in your life that you know that's affecting the way you sail in your life? That's your Jonah. You say, what am I supposed to do? Cast him out. Get rid of them.
Amen.
Right? Don't leave it there. I wonder what would happen in this church if everybody that has a Jonah would come to the altar and get rid of it tonight. I wonder what would happen. I'll tell you what would happen. We'd have some happy homes. We'd have some happy friendships. We'd have a powerful church. You know what happened? They dumped Jonah and got peace. Let me ask y'all a question. Can I ask you, do you ever get tired of unhappiness? You ever get tired of misery? You ever get tired of seemingly your life is so bumpy and out of control? You ever get tired? I'll tell you how to get some help. Get rid of your Jonah. That's my message. Stand with me. Teenagers, you got any Jonas? Mom, Dad, couples, you got any Jonas? You say, I'm afraid what anybody thinks. High time you get tired of what people think and say, I want to get right with God. Yes, folks are coming. Why won't you come? Father, thank you for this time that you give us. Help our people just to come to the altar, flood the altar, and say, I want to get rid of my Jonas. I want sailing this smooth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, I'm going to pray.